praying. And in many narrations, we have, even from the wife of the Prophet, the Lady Aisha, she said that sometimes the Prophet used to order me to bring the hasir on which he used to prostrate. Hasir is the small mat, which is size of a hand,
right,
where he used to, like, it was a straw mat, small straw mat,
right,
on which the Prophet used to place his forehead while he was prostrating or doing sajda. So right, we have these narrations in which the Lady Aisha has said that the Prophet used to order me to give my, you know, the hasir when he was about to going to the mosque, or maybe if it was inside the room, he used to call her wife and ask them to give him.
Additionally, so you also have historical accounts, if you look at the history books, that said the Muslims in the beginning of Islam, inside the mosque, they would come in, and where would we place our forehead, where would we do sujood, prostration? They would put dirt, straw, or anything natural, so
anything
people
natural
could do prostration.
Ahsan. So we have all these facts, and on the basis of these facts, we say that we do, you know, sajda, or the, we prostrate on the natural things. Now,
right,
whereas it is related to the turba, the piece of mud or
right,
the clay that we use, and they say like it's like idols, this is not idols. Come on.
Right.
The idols has a specific shape. And yes, we have some narrations, like in the history, it is said like the polytheists, when they became newly Muslims and they were not converted to Islam, especially after the victory of Mecca,
right,
they were not converted by heart.
Right, yes.
And they
that's
used
to escape
to,
prosecution.
Yes, they used to hide
yes,
them, hide the, you know, the idols under their, you know, the arms. And
right,
they used to do such actions. But relating those actions to the Muslim Ummah, especially the Shia school of thought, it's not about only Shia school of thought. If they are questioning or relating this, they are relating this to the Prophet as well,
right,
to the Aimah, to the Ahlul Bayt as well, because
right,
we learned this from the Ahlul Bayt and
to
the
early Muslims, to
and
the Sahaba as well.
Yes, and even about the mud of Karbala,
right,
the land of Karbala, you know, the clay that we have, or the turba that we have from the land of Karbala, it has a lot of, you know, benefits, and obviously it is very much recommended to do sajda on the mud of Karbala. Why? Because the narration says that who does prostrate on the mud of Karbala, obviously his prostration or the sajda is being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah listens more. Like, why?
Yeah.
Because it's because of the incident that happened and how the Islam was saved on that land.
Right.
It is actually about the Islam. It's about the
survival,
you know, the
of Islam, of
the
goal
Muhammadan and the
Islam.
Yeah, Ahsan. The goal of the Islam and how the Islam was saved on that land.
Right.
It's because of that. It's not because someone is worshipping, na'udhu billah, we can say like, may Allah forgive us, like worshipping the Imam Hussein. It's not the worshipping of Imam
right,
Hussein, it's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Because when he do sajda, he says subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamda, and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
Subhanallah.
Yeah.
Like when we say subhanallah, we basically this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this tasbih.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
If they say that we worship this clay tablet, then when you are praying on a rock, you're worshiping the rock then.
Yeah.
Same logic.
It's the same logic. Yeah. In the Masjid al-Nabawi, we can say like in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the
right,
Kaaba, there are no carpets. So when you do like prostrate on the you know, this stone,
marble.
Marble. When you prostrate on the marble, then obviously you're worshiping some idol, marble art.
Yes, you're worshiping marbles suddenly.
Yeah.
And you
when
got...
When we prostrate towards Kaaba, which is the Kaabatullah, the house of Allah,
right,
does Allah lives in that house? It's a building of rocks.
Right. With one very important rock.
Well.
Or a piece of rock.
Yes. Yeah. So these are the piece of rocks.
Yeah.
But we know that this is something which Allah has said just face towards this.
The
so
symbolic.
You can have unity. The symbol. Yes. It's a symbolic. It's not worshipping that house itself. It's the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
So those who say such things about the Shia school of thought, or those who basically prostrate on the, we can say, clay or the mat of straw, and all those things, it's just in vain. And we have many proofs, especially, you know, the last thing which we just discussed about the Kaaba. The Kaaba itself is made of rocks.
Right.
But this is not a sajda to the rocks.
Right.
It is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly,
right.
When we do that on the clay, on the turba or a straw mat, this sajda is been said in the narrations. We have narrations, and the narrations which are narrated by the Lady Aisha is
right.
not from others as well, because she was in the house.
Yes, an objection to the way that Shia Muslims pray and the way that Muslims should pray is also the same objection that disbelievers say about Muslims, that we pray to a house,
yeah.
to a rock, a cube.
If I can just quickly say, like, one of the narrations, like in the Ahl Sunnah books, for example, in Sahih Bukhari, it is the volume 1, page 92. And in the book, in the Sahih Bukhari, volume 1, page 92, it is the book of Tayammum. In the book of Tayammum, it is said that we can say, like, the land or the earth,
yes,
the clay, for me is been made a place of prostrating and doing tayammum.
Interesting. That's in Sahih Bukhari.
In Sahih Bukhari. That is the place of doing prostrate, sajda, the mahallu sajda, mahallu sajda. This is the place of doing sajda or the prostrate and tayammum.
To be clear, who says this?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Himself.
Yes.
Right.
It is the Prophet who said this. So we have many narrations, like the Ahl Sunnah also have. I think like the many Sunni ulama also knows that this is allowable, you can do this. But generally such questions are from those who haven't learned about their books and
Islam in itself. Right.
Yeah.
Say just one final question. On some turbas that we pray on, there is an image. For example, there is an image of the shrine, or maybe perhaps even the supposed face of one of the imams, and just some writing perhaps. Can we still prostrate on these images that are imprinted on the clay tablets?
We cannot do that, because the place where we pray or prostrate should be clear.
Should be even.
Even, and it should not have any images. And I do recommend for those, I will request those who basically make or manufacture or made these things, that do not print anything on both sides.
Agreed.
You know, do not print anything on both sides, because your action is making false or bringing false questions, or just prompting some false questions in the minds of the people, the general Muslim Ummah, which has nothing to do with the Shia beliefs.
Right.
And if there are, for example, you know, when we ask them, like, why do you do this? They say, like, because this is the turba, or the clay from the Karbala. We are making the picture of shrine of Karbala, so that whoever gets this, he knows that it is from Karbala or from Mashhad.
Well, many reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Also,
or
design,
like,
reason. It
yes,
looks prettier.
some write down the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it, and
yeah.
it's not good to do that. Like,
right.
Leave it plain, so that if someone wants to use it, it can use both sides. It should be even, like, to use that.
Sayyid, I thank you for your insightful knowledge and for your time today. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali. حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office, a 200-year-old houseboat on a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar. Set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahanabad has more.
The Indian administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here. And every day, I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mails, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to two centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marina Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist with a foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing a decline in the population of these graceful reptiles. Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. But now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship. A 3-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with her impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Shishi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
Shishi's skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Shishi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickier swivels and turns. They say Shishi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, you know, now we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and, you know, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We can, you know, we have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And, you know, can you know, customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. A kingdom of ice and snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The Demilitarized Zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife. Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Shirwan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes.
It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheongwon County, South Korea.
Thirty-three lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gathered to watch the endangered animals get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting and the loss of nesting sites.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Ed Solt says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام ما استودع الله امرأ عقلا إلا استنقذه به يوما ما.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, Allah does not grant wisdom to a person except that someday he will save him from ruin with his help.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, one of the certainties that we face in life is the certainty of death. Now, whether we have experienced it in our close circles, our family, our friends, or even a much wider circle, we have witnessed that death is a certainty, and every single one of us, one day or the other, sooner or later, will end up dying. Now, death is not something to be afraid of or to be fearful. Rather, death is something that one should be prepared for. We should all be prepared for death. And how do you prepare for death? Well, you work hard in this world and you do good and righteous deeds and you try to satisfy Allah the Mighty, the Sublime, and pray and hope that Allah forgives our lapses, and thus one prepares for death, because death is just a doorway to the continuation of this journey of life and of existence. Now, when talking about death and this deception that the world somehow places upon people, we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says at one point, O you who swear at the world with your tongue, but you are attached to its vanity in your heart. Did the world not show you the resting place of those who have passed away, in the same way that it will show your resting place to others? Were all these not a lesson for you to learn? After death, neither the weeping of mourners, nor the weeping of your friends, nor the weeping of your relatives will have any benefit for you. So, dear friends, just as we said in the beginning of the program, we have seen the resting places of those who have died. We have seen the cemeteries filled with graves of people who were once alive, walking around and enjoying the world. Now they are waiting to be resurrected. And so, just in the same manner that these graves of those who have gone in the past are a reminder for us, so too will we one day be in a grave and be a reminder for those who look upon our tombstone. And these, as Imam Ali eloquently says, are a lesson for every single one of us. We should take lesson in these things. We should realize that death will surely happen, and we should all be prepared for death.
And also, Imam Ali says that the weeping of mourners and the weeping and the crying of our friends and our family members and our relatives, it will not benefit us. Yes, if they send some sort of a spiritual gift like reciting the Holy Quran in our name or reciting a prayer, a two rakat namaz, a salah for us, or giving some charity on our behalf in our name, these things will benefit us. But the mere mourning and the grief, these things will not benefit us, meaning it is only those things which we send on towards the hereafter. These are the things which will benefit us. And so, as the Ahlul Bayt, the members of the family of the Holy Prophet, the divinely appointed Imams, they say that this world is the field from which we will harvest that which we will see in the hereafter. Another profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
أسألك الأمان يوم يعرف المجرمون بسيماهم فيؤخذ بالنواصي والأقدام
And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks So they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 269, he says, whomever he grants wisdom to whomever he wants, and whoever has been granted hikmat, faqad utiya khayran kathiran, then that person indeed has goodness in abundance. And one of the prime example of that special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a recipient of the hikmat and knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, as somebody who had ilm ladunni, God-gifted knowledge. And therefore it's not a surprise that he emerges the most eloquent orator with exceptional ability, where he was able to speak on any topic extempore without preparing notes or thinking about it. And this is a title. This is the status of Ali, where nobody has challenged that through the centuries. Even during our times in 1930s or 40s, there was a famous Egyptian writer by the name of Shakib Arsalan, very prominent during his time. And there is a story about him that there was a gathering where he was asked to give a talk, but before he gave his talk, he was introduced by the MC. And the way the MC glorified Shakib Arsalan, he used the term for him. He says, Shakib Arsalan is Amirul Bayan. He is the chief of Bayan, oratory. Shakib Arsalan, when he came to the podium, where the first thing he says, you know, you really have been unfair to the true Amirul Bayan, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says, this Amirul Bayan is exclusively only for Ali. Don't use that title for me.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam I be. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the merciful. This is Youth Station, and I'm glad to be here. Well, we have my friend.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa salaam alaikum.
I'm Zainab, Sister Asma's co-host, and I'm totally happy to be with you guys today.
Okay, then today we're going to talk about some very important things, some very important issues. It's going to be some personal points we add to your information. So now let's talk about when we are alone. What do we do when we are alone? Okay, so that's a very good job. I do that too. Is it really satisfying?
To an extent.
Yes, what does it do to you?
Sometimes it's a good gap filler for when you're waiting for the cab, for your, waiting for the producer to set up the microphone. And if you've already prepared the content you want to talk about, you just want to take the edge off.
Yes.
And, fill that little few moments, kill time, as they say. And you scroll through, what did my friends post?
Yes.
What did that so-and-so scholar say? This really cute quote. Oh, look at that meme of that cat.
Yes, exactly.
And you get a giggle out of it, and all this fun is all this
it
fun
takes
and good.
Us away from reality
for a second or
for
so.
For some second.
But then sometimes I feel like,
but time really flies when we're doing
that. Sometimes it's a good thing because I don't like the time I'm in right now in
we
my solitude.
Lose the track of time, and that's a good thing most of the times recently.
Yeah. But the problem is,
yes,
things like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter have been designed to grant you a sort of immediate gratification, instant gratification, right?
Yes.
And that real little spike of adrenaline or serotonin that you have creates an addiction.
Of course.
And then these little gap fillers that you call it, just to kill those 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 15 minutes that you have between classes, between whatever, turns into, like you said, an hour, two, three, four.
Happens to take half of your day.
Before you know it, half of your day is gone.
Yes.
With your index finger scrolling through the page
and
of
we
your
do not
phone.
Feel it.
We don't even feel it. Right. And then after a while, first time, second time, we might feel guilty about it. But after a while, we even become desensitized. We feel like it's just a part of our normal life.
Yes.
And this is how we spend our moments of solitude, which sucks.
Yes.
Those moments of solitude are the most valuable, precious, cherishable moments.
But what else would we do?
Read a book, maybe?
Yes, we read. Using my cell phone, I read books.
Yes. Oh, really? You're one of those?
Yes.
Get out.
No, but I love books more.
Yeah.
Some short pieces I read.
I knew it.
Yes.
Yeah, there is no... I do not
the
trust...
The sense of the books...
I don't trust a person who says I enjoy PDF books more than hardcovers.
No.
I don't
trust
them. Yes.
I'm not one of them.
Those are the kind of people that just want to watch the world burn.
Yes.
You know? And I just don't want that. I don't need that kind of vibe in my life. Thank you.
Yes.
Please. Sayyid al-Qaid, Ayatollah Khamenei.
Yes.
He was saying to the youth, and he addresses the youth very often. He has so much faith in us, and it's so scary sometimes. He was like, fill those moments with reciting the Quran.
Exactly.
Why not?
Yes, of course.
You've got 15 minutes to kill. You can read 3-4 pages within
those 15
minutes.
Yes, and that gives you a sense of happiness as well.
Fulfillment.
And
add to your knowledge.
Yes, and you're not remorseful for what you have done.
During those times of solitude when I'm alone with myself, sometimes I'm so burned out from work that I feel I don't want to read a book. I don't want to pick up my hobbies. I don't want to learn a new language. I don't want to freaking meditate. I want to mindlessly scroll through Instagram.
Yes.
Okay?
I told you, that takes us away from reality.
Yes.
That's a good point of it.
Sometimes, once a week, twice a week, you're allowed to do that.
But when it becomes an addiction, that becomes dangerous.
Any addiction is scary.
Yes, any kind of addiction is too bad.
You can't force yourself into the habit of doing something productive if your other habits during other hours of the day weren't very healthy.
Exactly. That's true.
Right?
Yes.
It requires a synchronized planned system.
Yes.
For you to wake up sleep at a certain hour, so you can wake up at a certain hour, have a healthy diet, have a healthy working schedule.
Yes, yes.
Don't run yourself down and burn yourself out and then expect yourself to, you know, drink a cup of lemon balm with a really good classic book and some relaxing music in the
background.
The smell
of rain.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I don't know, lavender essential oil burning
candles.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, of course not. No.
You have to plan to have
certain things at certain times.
Yes, productive, healthy alone time.
Exactly. Productivity is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's talk about when you are in a hardship. What do you do in those moments?
I drink chai. I'm not even exaggerating.
Seriously? Chai. And does that work?
That works for me.
It's too good.
Dude, chai, man. I don't know who invented it, but I'm pretty sure they're in heaven.
No. But I overthink.
Really?
Yes.
While you're drinking chai. And then your chai gets cold. You're one of those.
I knew it.
But you still drink chai, right?
Do
you find solace in overthinking? Do you find comfort in it?
Solace? Well, never.
Why do you do it then?
Because it's a habit.
Of course it
happens. And so naturally. I don't know, when did it become a part of me?
Does it bother you so much?
Yes, a lot.
Have you tried anything to fight it off?
Yes, I go to gym and I watch movies in order just to forget about the thing I'm thinking about.
Let's define hardship, though. What do you mean by times of hardship? Is it financial hardship, health hardship-ish sort of thing?
No, mental hardships.
Oh, darn, that's the worst kind.
Yes, that's
still chai. Solution is still chai.
I don't think so.
For real?
Yes.
Chai is my solution to everything. I can't sleep, chai. I'm hungry, chai. I'm stressed out, chai. I've just woken up. I need
That's
to little pick
good.
Me up, chai.
That's too good.
And it actually fixes things.
I wish I had such a...
You should try it. I really
such a painkiller.
In life, we need to find something that anchors us.
Of course, but the
well,
thing
God
that anchors
anchor,
us is our creed, I guess.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
Thing that
no, little
us.
Things, little anchors.
Little anchors, yes, the way you put it. Maybe reading books, maybe watching movies, maybe chai, exactly the way you said. But when it becomes so deep, the only thing that anchors us is our creed, the things that we believe in.
Definitely.
The things that our prophet and his companions has always recommended us to do.
No,
pray, read Quran, or do anything like that.
Or just chill with God. Yes. Have a heart-to-heart with him.
Exactly. Speak to him like two friends.
Exactly. You don't necessarily have to pray or recite a certain supplication.
Have a special place or
sit in there.
Do certain
sit
things.
There with
just
him
to speak
silence.
To him.
Yeah. You know, what you just said reminded me of that hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. In kunta bakiyan li shay fabki lil Hussein.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like, yeah, that's a solution to all my problems.
Yes, it's a very good solution.
كنت باكيا للشاي فابكي على الحسين إن كنت باكيا للشاي فابكي على الحسين فابكي على الحسين مظلوم كربلا فابكي على الحسين.
Because often we feel when our problems and hardships reach a certain degree, we feel like, okay, this is the point where I need to cry this
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And
the best thing to cry for
is Imam al-Hussein exactly. alayhi salam. Because, first of all, it makes you closer to your imam. Second of all, it...
You're not crying for something that is worthless.
Yes, and futile.
Your cry becomes worthy.
Exactly.
Every drop is something that's going to help you in future. Mm. And of course, it will solve your problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's a win-win situation.
Exactly.
Also, it puts the hardship that you're facing at that moment into perspective.
Yes.
I'm not trying to gaslight anyone into thinking that, dude, your problem is nothing compared to the problem
no,
of Imam al-Hussein.
I get what you're saying.
Your problem is valid, but I'm saying that once we engulf ourselves
yes.
with the ocean, which is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein
yes.
alayhi salam,
when we're linked
we feel,
to him.
Yes.
Yes.
We relate to him, and we feel that even our problem now is within his embrace.
Insignificant.
Yes.
They are important, but they're insignificant
and
compared to the hardships.
And you feel like you learn how to cope with your problem from the way Imam al-Hussein coped with it.
Exactly.
How to practice that sabrun jameel, that
yes.
beautiful patience. One of my friends was saying something really interesting about this. He said that it got me thinking, how can you be beautifully patient? There's nothing beautiful about being patient.
Yes.
You're in this really uncomfortable, hard...
That's so painful.
Traumatic experience.
Yes.
You just want it to pass. You just want to get away from it. And you have to be patient. Which part of that can you possibly make beautiful?
Yes,
and that's
exactly.
the secret, right?
Yes.
Once you have a Husseini mentality toward it.
Exactly.
Once you feel that I am doing this for the sake of God because I know this place I am in now is where God wants me to be.
And you feel him. You feel that he's witnessing you.
Yes.
He's there for you. And he would never let you down.
For
so that's
sure.
a pacifier.
And then you get to the point where you're ma ra'aytu illa jamila.
Exactly.
I see nothing but beauty.
Yes.
Because I had that beautiful patience.
Yes, that's true. So what about when you're with your friend?
When it does happen?
Is it a good thing to be around your friends?
Oh, yeah, I love my friends.
Exactly.
They're awesome people. That's why they're my friends. If I'm going through some sort of conflict with my friends, which I hate to death.
That's a difficult part of the story.
Chai is still the solution.
Again, chai.
I tell them to come have chai with me.
That's very good. I have those moments too.
Yeah, and
it's
then, you know, conflict gone.
Yes.
Just have chai. Or like when I'm...
You forget about everything.
Everything.
How come?
Sometimes I feel like I'm literally in the middle of actively having an argument with my friend. We've reached the point of raising our voices.
Yes, yes.
And then one of us turns to the other and goes, do you want some chai?
Yes.
De-escalate it.
Yes. Everything is gone.
That very moment, it's like water on fire.
Yes.
You know? You want some chai?
Yes.
And the problem goes.
Like what happens with your brothers and sisters, like the family. Because friends, after a special time, they become your family.
For sure.
So they know when to say, do you want some chai?
God bless them, God, and God bless chai. And God bless all of our listeners. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Youth Station. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.